Take your Bibles. Please turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28. We're going to read one verse there. I'm going to read another verse to you in another part of the Bible, because we're going to hop, skip, and jump around a little bit here. You're turning to Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 28. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 to you. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let's read this verse in unison together. Ready? "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Verse number 18, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 18. While you're turning there, I'll read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 18. And again, let me read Leviticus 19, 11. "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." Now, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 18, we'll read this verse in unison together. Ready? "He saith unto him," which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you that the holiday was here, and yet people this morning came to church, people were saved, folks baptized, eternity was changed. Lord, I'm so glad we have a church that doesn't play church. It's real to us, because you're a real God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, change our hearts and our lives so we could go out and reach more people for you and your kingdom, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon tonight has a very simple title. It's a very, very simple truth. The title is "Don't Steal." Over and over again in the Bible, we see Scripture advising us that we should not steal. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15 says, "Thou shalt not steal." It's one of the Ten Commandments. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more." The Bible says in Leviticus 19:11, it says, "Ye shall not steal." Matthew 19:18 quotes the Old Testament book of Exodus where it says, "Thou shalt not steal." I looked up some statistics. In 2010, in regard to theft, there was one robbery every 1.4 minutes. There was one burglary every 14.6 seconds. One motor vehicle theft every 42.8 seconds. That means your car may be gone right now from the church parking lot. More than $13 billion worth of goods are stolen from retailers every year. That's more than $35 million per day. This time of the year, being Christmas, people will go out and in honor of Christ's birth, go out and steal things to give to their families as Christmas gifts. There are approximately 27 million shoplifters, they say, in America. That's one out of every 11 people. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Francisco, you're the man. 1 out of every 11 people shoplift. That's what they say the statistic is. In the world, stolen in 1 year, in currency, talking about bills, 1,154,196,924 will be stolen. Jewelry and precious metals, 1,556,364,665 worth stolen. Clothing and furs, they say $278,993,083 worth of furs will be stolen. In regard to motor vehicles, 3,970,565,871 worth of vehicles will be stolen somewhere in the world in 1 year. Firearms, 143,477,530 worth of firearms will be stolen. They say that in America, in 1 year, over $21,000 is taken just through pickpocketing. And that's someone bumping you and reaching their hand into your purse or into your maybe your jacket and grabbing your wallet. Purse snatching in America in 1 year, over $24,000 stolen through purse snatchers. In bicycles alone in America, in 2010, $179,595 worth of bicycles were stolen. Just coin-operated machines, they'll steal over $17,000 from breaking into little old machines and stealing nickels, dimes, and quarters. But so you know, folks, stealing is not just in reference to money. When we lean toward the belief of we think about money is what can be stolen, and that's because money is so valuable to us. Money's the god of America today. But let me give you some other verses about this thing of stealing. In Exodus 22, verse number 1, it says, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep." And now you say, why is that different? The ox in this day would have been equal to a man's tractor. And it's talking about someone stealing someone's form of earning their living. That'd be like someone stealing the pickup truck of the carpenter that had all of his tools in the back of it, or someone breaking in and stealing the big mechanic's toolbox with all of his wrenches. So the stealing of the ox would have been an awful lot like someone stealing the way that we today would earn our living. And God said that when that happens, it ought to be repaid at many fold. You say, why many fold? Because if you stole someone's tools and they couldn't go to work for weeks and weeks in a row, you not only owe them their tools that you stole, but you owe in the living for that they lost because you stole that which helped them to earn their living. But not only that, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 30, it says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor." Now here God is talking about the word of God and someone that would actually steal away the word of God. He's talking to the prophets, so he's talking about preachers. And preachers that don't preach the word like they should or withhold the word, or preachers that fiddle with the word of God and try to better what God's already done. And God calls it stealing. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 7, it says, "If any man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die." And this is talking about kidnapping or people, stealing people and trafficking them. And God said, and did you notice God put the death sentence in there? And I'll tell you what, if they would do that again, everybody, this thing is stealing babies and stealing children and stealing women and putting them on the market, it'd stop pretty quick. If they went back to this death sentence that the Bible teaches. Now, folks, you know, to steal anything and what is stealing? It's to take anything that doesn't belong to you. But I want to point something out to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know what that means? If you're saved, you're not your own. You don't belong to you. You say, well, who do I belong to? God. You're looking at this person right here. We use the term God's man. God owns me. And if you're saved, God owns you. He owns everything about you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In other words, your body belongs to God, and so does your spirit. And for the sake of being practical, that when it says your spirit, that's your attitude. Your attitude doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God also. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23 says, "You are bought with a price, being not ye the servants of men." You have been purchased. You say, well, how was I purchased? By the blood of the Lamb. You've been purchased with the most precious substance that's ever been on the face of this earth, and that is the blood of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction." You know, we as Christians belong to the Lord. We are His property. And I want to recommend something to you tonight. I would recommend that you do not steal yourself or your life from Him, because you belong to Him. We think of someone stealing from us, and we think of somebody stealing money, and we think of someone stealing a car or stealing someone's tools, or the theft or the stealing of a child or a baby. Let me tell you something. There are Christians everywhere that steal from God. Say, how so? They steal themselves from God. They steal themselves. You stay with me. I want to very practically apply this thought about not stealing. But wait a minute. We belong to God. Let's be careful that we don't steal. You and I, first of all, don't steal your future from God. Don't steal your future from God. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Listen, folks, your future belongs to God. Why? Because you belong to God. Be sure your decisions of today do not limit God's desire to use you tomorrow. Your future is God's. Some of you are stealing your future from God. You plan your career with no thought as to what God wants. Now, let me tell you something. Your future belongs to God. That's God's. You're bought with a price. Your plan needs to be God's plan. We foolishly commit to outrageous debt. Then eventually it'll mean you'll be out of church to go pay off that debt. And what have you done? You've stole your future from God. Oh my, be careful. You go out and marry a lost person. Now you steal God's plan for your tomorrow. Folks, you better be careful what decisions you make today. And young people, it's one thing your preacher wants to tell you. Be careful what you decide today. What you decide today could steal your future out of the hands of God. You say, well, I want to do this and I want to be that and I want to go here and I want to go there. You better just do what God wants you to do and plan to be what God wants you to be. It's the happiest way to live your life anyway. Hey, don't steal your future from God. I not only want to serve God today, I want to serve God in the future. I want to make decisions today that will help me to be available to God so that I can do everything I'm to do in the future. And hey, nobody likes to be robbed. Nobody likes someone to steal from them. But wait a minute, folks. Do we steal from our God? Don't steal your future. Secondly, of course, I have to throw this in here. I'm Baptist. Don't steal the tithe. Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. It is said here, will a man rob God? I think that the people of the day didn't like that word rob. They thought, isn't that a little bit strong? Rob God? Someone's robbing God when they take the tithe or when they take their offering. And God said, yeah, you've robbed me. You've robbed me. They evidently didn't like that word robbed very well. They probably wanted to call it, well, I delayed my tithe. I just borrowed it. I reallocated it. God said robbed. Those aren't the words of Jeff Owens. Those are the word of God. Stolen money in your purse or wallet's a dangerous thing. The Holy Spirit may want to frisk you down, figure out where you got that. That's not mama's money you stole. That's the Heavenly Father's money. That's God's. Did you know God can trace the identification numbers on all the stolen money that you have? I ought to tell you, just so you know, according to the Malachi chapter 3, God places a financial curse on people that steal the tithe and the offering. Your shoes won't last as long. Neither will the tires on your car. Now, sure enough, somebody had a flat tire on the way into church tonight. You're thinking, ah, preacher, you're getting me. No, no, I'm just telling you, there is a curse when we steal from God. And always remember this, folks. Every penny we have, He gave to us anyway. Every penny we have, He gave. It's all His. All of it's His. Your future is God's. Our money is God's. Don't steal from Him. May I recommend to you that you don't steal your mind from God? Don't steal your mind from God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, well, preacher, on what should we think? God just gave us a good long list of the things on which we should think. Hey, you know, God deserves your mind, and your mind belongs to God. You say, well, it's my mind. I'll put in it what I want. You are mistaken. It is not your mind. It is God's mind. He bought it. It's His, and you're to do with it what He wants you to do. Your mind belongs to Him. You ought to train your mind for God. Are you stealing your mind away from God? I think you ought to put His Word in your mind. Hollywood will steal your mind. Gossip will steal your mind. Pornography will steal your mind. Sinful music will steal your mind. There are people in here, you would be disgusted as all get out if you watch the offering plate pass by and there was a $100 bill on the top and you watch someone grab a $100 bill and stick it in their pocket. You'd say, look at that. Somebody stole $100 out of the offering plate. I wonder what part of your mind you stole from God this week by putting things in it that God doesn't want in it. Are you stealing your mind away from God? God didn't really give us any choice. He said, I want your mind pure. Now you do everything you can to get it that way. You see, I think God ought to give us a little space. He gave you space. He didn't send you to hell. He bought you. Now get your mind where God wants your mind. Get your mind out of the gutter. Get it into the Word of God. Get it into purity. You see, we can steal from God. We can steal our futures. We can steal the tithe. We can steal our minds. May I recommend to you that you not steal God's time. God's time. Psalm 39, verse number 4, the Bible says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Here it talks about the measure of my days. And the psalmist is saying, I want to use my days right. And I'd like to know how many days I have, but however many I have, I know I'm frail and I want to use my days right. Now, if I'm going to use my days right, I have to use my hours right. If I'm going to use my hours right, I'm going to need to use my minutes right. Hey, did you know your time is God's time? You know, I'll tell you all something. You better be careful getting too busy for God. And one of the indictments against Christianity in this day and age is how they'll celebrate Christmas. Do you know there will be people that will not come to church on Christmas Day because they're staying home to celebrate the birth of Christ? I can't fathom. I can't understand that. Listen, do you take time that should have been given to God and you give it elsewhere? Oh, I don't think you're going to be down at the church all the time. This is a busy church. We got a million and one things going on around here. I don't think anybody can come to everything. Matter of fact, I don't expect anybody to come to everything. But there are things that people ought to come to. There are things to which we should be faithful. You know, when you're watching TV and you let television take your Bible time, you've stolen your time. You've stolen it. When you get up in the morning and you have time to watch the news and you have time to read the newspaper, but you won't read your Bible, I'm going to guess you've stolen some time from God. You have time to play ball, but you don't have time to go soul winning. You have time to watch a ball game, but you don't have any time to go soul winning. Hey, do you hunt instead of come to church? Now, I like to hunt. And I think every man ought to go out and shoot something every once in a while. But I'll tell you something. Anytime we put other things before God, there are certain things that ought to be given to God. And we have got to be careful that we do not steal time away from God. There are times that ought to be given to God. And when we don't give to God the time that is rightfully His, we've stolen it from Him. May I say to you, I would recommend that you not steal your life from God. Don't steal your life from God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, I'm to live my life as a dead man. I'm to die, and Christ is to live through me. I am to be crucified with Christ, and He is to live through me. Your life is His life. It's not yours. Boy, and you hear people say this all the time. Well, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want. If you're a born-again Christian, it is not your life, and you're not to do with it what you want. Your life's goals are to be His goals. Your career choice is to be His career choice. For who do you live your life? For you or for God? Don't steal your life from God. Don't take from God what is rightfully His. And I think we can steal our lives from God. I think this also, you need to be careful that you don't steal your children from God. You know, you're to rear your children for God. You're not to rear them for yourself. If God wants them for a particular task, you should want what God wants. And folks, let me tell you all, every mom and dad, every grandma and grandpa here, let me tell you something. For your children to be in the will of God is the safest place on the in the entire world for them anyway. You need them. You ought to want them to be in the will of God, doing what God wants them to do. If your child, if God calls your child to the mission field, the dumbest thing you could do, the most unsafe thing you could do is influence them otherwise. The safest place for them then would be in the deep, dark, forsaken jungle of Africa, if that's where God wants them. But don't steal your children. You say, but Brother Owens, it's always been my dream that my child take over the family business. You better let them take over the Heavenly Father's business. Hey, and look, if it is God's will that your child take over the family business, that's what they better do. But if it is God's will that they go to the mission field, don't steal your kids from God. Do you know who gave them to you? It's just like your money. Every penny you have, everything you have, God gave it to you. And everybody in here that you look to your right and look to your left and you see a little flock of youngins that God's given you, you better remember the miracle of God that allowed you to give birth to that child. And you better remember that little boy and that little girl belonged to God. God created them for a purpose, and that purpose was not for you. It was for Him. Now thank God you get in on the blessing, and lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. But let me tell you something. They are God's. They are God's. Your children are to do God's will, not yours. Your children are to fulfill God's dreams for their lives, not your dreams for their lives. I've watched many say, well, I want my child to go off and do this and accomplish that. I'm glad for all of those thrills and all of that excitement, but you ought to have the ultimate goal that your children are submissive to God and that they do exactly what God wants in their life. Don't steal your children from God. May I recommend, ladies, that you not steal your husband from God? Luke 14:20, it says, and another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. This is a story of a man that was invited to a feast that the Lord wanted him to come. And the man said, I can't come. I married a wife. Now, I don't know if it's a man's fault or the wife's fault, but it is very obvious here. The wife had influence on this man not showing up where he needed to show up. Was his wife keeping him from serving the Lord? Will you keep your husband from being a soul winner? Will you keep him from being in the ministry? Will you keep him out of church? I'll tell you something. When I married Mrs. Owens, oh, a terribly unromantic proposal. I had made her, was it a butterscotch or caramel sundae? I made her a butterscotch sundae, and I had the wedding or the engagement ring there, and I brought this sundae in, and the engagement ring was on the little platter, and I was getting ready to propose, and there the ring was, and I kind of didn't really exactly know what all to say, and she seen the caramel or the butterscotch sundae, and I said, what do you think? I thought she was looking at the ring, she was looking at the sundae, and she said, well, should we pray? So she went to pray over that ice cream so we could get started. But I remember I said this to her. I said, Sherry, I said, I'm going to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I'm going to stand for the old time ways. I plan to do this the rest of my life. And I want you to be my wife. But I do not want you to be my wife if you're going to cop out on me and you're going to run. And when the going gets tough, if you're going to give up. Because I don't want to be out of the ministry because my wife can't take it. I said, and if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. You shouldn't marry me. And you say, what a proposal. Where are the roses and the fireworks? You know what the woman said? She said, can I think about it? She didn't give me an answer on the spot. And the next day she said to me, Jeff Owens, I'd rather take the heat in your kitchen than any kitchen in America. I'm willing to be a pastor's wife, and if that's what God's called you to do, I'll stick with you. And by the way, that little lady right there stuck with me through thick and thin and everything that hell could throw at us. She stays right by my side, and what a sweet, godly lady she is. But she has no right to steal my ministry from me. Will you steal your husband away from doing the ministry God has called him to do? Could you steal your wife from God? Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It says in Proverbs 31:20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. Here the Bible's talking about a good woman. I'll tell you what, man, you need to be careful that you don't steal your wife away from God. She belongs to God, just so you know. She's your wife, but God is her God. You're not her God. You're her husband. And every man here ought to want your wife to serve God, and ought to want your wife to stretch out her hands to the needy, and ought to want your wife to do good things with her life. Will you let her get involved in church? Will you let her serve the needy? Or do you stop her from doing God's will? A man can become so dominant in his wife's life that he will not let her serve God. And a woman can mess with a man's life to the point where a woman tries to keep a man from serving God. I say to you, don't steal from God. Don't steal your kids from God. Don't steal your husband from God. Don't steal your wife from God. Then may I say, don't steal your talents from God. Your talents. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 15, it says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. This is talking about people and their talents and their abilities. It's talking about several abilities. It's talking about those unique abilities that God has given. Now, God gave everybody here some talent. Brother Renison's is not in the category of music. But I'll tell you what, you'll go long and far to find a guy that is a better drywaller. The guy is just fantastic. Thank God for him. What a hard working man, a loyal man, a diligent man. Hey, everybody here, you have talents. Your talents were given to you by God. Do you use them for you? Now, God allows you to use your talents to help you, but your talents were not ultimately given to you for you. Your talents were given to you for God. Your talents were not just given to you to make money. If you can sing, but you won't do it for God, then you're robbing God of a talent that was intended to be used for Him. You can play an instrument, but you're not going to do it for God, then you're robbing God of your talent. I would say we could use a half a dozen more pianists around here. Don't you settle on that talent. You use it for God. You can do construction work, but if you won't use it for God, you may be robbing God of a talent. Maybe you're good with the electronics, or you're good with computers. But you won't use that talent for God. Folks, God did not develop our talents just so we could use it for ourselves. The talents that we have, indeed we use them to support ourselves. God wants us to work hard. We ought to be using our talents, and we ought to be using our abilities for God. Don't rob God of your ability. Don't rob God of your talent. There would be no church in America that would have any lack if everybody would just step up and say, God gave it to me. I'm going to let God use whatever He wants. You can talk, but you use it to sell things and make money, but you won't use it for God. You could talk, but you never win souls. You could talk, but you don't teach Sunday school. Are you robbing God of your talent? You see, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. We think about somebody stealing a car. We think about somebody robbing a bank. You and I could be stealing those things that belong to our God. You and I could steal our future from God. You and I could steal the tithe from God. We could steal our minds away from God. We could steal our time away from God, or our life, or our children, or our husbands, or our wives, or our talents. Let me give you one more recommendation. Be careful not to steal your body. Don't steal the health of your body away from your God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? God lives within you. Some would call this building here the sanctuary. No, your body is a sanctuary. God lives within your body. He uses your body for His purpose. Don't steal it from Him. He wants to use your body for His purpose. Don't steal it from Him. You need to have your body where He wants it, when He wants it there, in the condition that He wants it in. That's, you say, why? It's not yours. Your body's not yours. Hey, don't you abuse the body that belongs to God now. Listen to me. If there's somebody in here and you're taking illegal drugs of some sort, let me tell you, let me give you a warning. If you're a born again Christian, your body is not yours. You have no right to put that trash in the body that belongs to God. None. God does not want liquor in your body. If you're putting liquor in your body, it is not yours. It is God's. And God has a right to choose what you drink. Shouldn't be in there. There's a habit that people do today, and it's a very bad thing. It's called cutting. They get to cutting on their skin and cutting on their flesh. The Bible talks about no cuttings in the flesh, but it's wrong. You say, well, if I want to cut myself because I'm depressed, it's an expression of how I feel. Your body is not yours, and you're not to abuse your body. That body belongs to God Almighty, and you ought to stop that. Let me tell you something. If you're not married, you should not be having a physical relationship with anybody. Let me say it again. If you're not married, you should not have a physical relationship with anybody. You say, why? Because your body does not belong to you. You are committing immorality with a body that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been bought with the price. You are to stay pure and clean. And if you are married, you shouldn't be having any type of a physical relationship with anybody except for the one to whom you're married. And you ought to be having a physical relationship with the one that you are married to. Why? That's what God told you to do with your body. You see, don't steal your body. Don't steal your health from him. Every time you suck that cigarette smoke into your body, I'm your friend and I'm not trying to be mean to you. But you, God doesn't want that in his body. God doesn't want that inside you. When you misuse your body, you're abusing the body that God gave you. You see, God said don't steal. We automatically think about someone breaking into our house and stealing things. I think that's wicked. I think that's terrible. I think that's a rotten thing to do to anybody. But I'll tell you, even you and I as Christians, if we're not careful, we can be found guilty of stealing something of ours, or actually of his, that he's given to us. You've heard this story before. It's worth telling again, and I'll close with it. There were three men sitting on a train. They were where two booths kind of looked at one another. A table in the middle, two men sitting on one side, the table in the middle, another man sitting on the other side. One of the men said, hey, you guys want to play some poker? He pulled out some poker cards and started shuffling them around. One fellow said, yeah, I'll play some poker. The guy sitting across the table said, I can't. His arms were resting down beside the side of his body. He said, I can't. I don't have any hands to play cards with. The guy said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. The other guy said, well, let's play some poker. Two guys started playing poker. They were flipping those cards back and forth. About 5 minutes into the ride, the guy on the opposite side of the table that had said he didn't have any hands pulled his arms up, put his hands right on top of the table. There were two hands. The fellow dealing the card said, hey, buddy, I thought you said you didn't have any hands. He said, I don't. These hands belong to God. What have you touched with God's hands that you shouldn't have touched? What have you listened to with God's ears that you shouldn't have listened to? Where have you taken God's body that shouldn't have gone? What have you thought with God's brain that you shouldn't have thought? What have you said with God's lips and tongue that you shouldn't have said? Ye are not your own. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body. See, they're God's. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This evening, if you're not a born-again Christian, I welcome you to the Savior. Why don't you come? Let us help you to get saved. If you're here, if you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and never been baptized, you ought to come. There's all sorts of people under the sound of my voice tonight. You're against stealing. You're against theft. Maybe you ought to take a good look to see what your standing is with God. What have you done with your hands? What have you done with your mind or your body? You see, we belong to God. Let's not steal from God what is rightfully his. Who here would say, preacher, tonight God has spoken to my heart? And you'll raise your hand and say, he's definitely spoken to me about something. You may put your hands down. If you need the altar, don't be afraid to use it. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's